We're going to continue our study of the Gospel of John this morning, and we are in John chapter 18. We're studying the Gospel of John with a purpose. Our purpose is given to us in John
chapter
31. Great. Vivian, you're going to have to move, dear. Okay? I need you to move one seat over. Beautiful. Beautiful. I can get you all now. All right. That's great. John chapter 20, verse 31, that says, "These are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." That's why we're studying, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. I hope you do. I pray to God you do. That He is the prophesied Messiah, the one that God said would come to save His people. That He is the Son of God, the unique, the only begotten of the Father. And being the only begotten of the Father, He is the exact image of the invisible God. That He is Himself God in flesh. And that believing these things, we might have life in His name. Abundant life in Him. Life now, abundantly. And life eternally with Him. So, that's our purpose for studying. We've been with Jesus for 3 years. We are to the last day of His physical life here. We've been with Him through the night of His betrayal. We were with Him in the garden. In the garden, He was there and He was praying. And He was overwhelmed. And His blood oozed from His pores and mixed with His sweat as He prayed. And He said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but Thy will be done." And then Judas came in with the soldiers and they arrested Him. And they bound Him up and they took Him first to Annas' house, the powerful ex-high priest, and he questioned Him. And then He was taken to Caiaphas' home and the Sanhedrin was there. And they questioned Him and they beat Him. And then they took Him bound before Pontius Pilate. And this is where we're going to pick up here. In chapter 18, verse 28, it says, "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." Full of hypocrisy. They bring Jesus to the praetorium. They're accusing an innocent man. But they won't go in because they might defile themselves. They will bring Him to His death. But they won't go in because they don't want to be defiled. They are already defiled. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." He's an evildoer. That's why you brought him? Well, in the Gospel of Luke, we're given a little clarity in what evil they accused Jesus of doing. They said, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. And he declares himself to be Christ, a king." Hey, these kind of things will get you killed with the Romans. perverting the nation. He's subverting the nation from the rule of Rome. He's a radical. He's a revolutionary. Well, he was a radical. He was revolutionary. Forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, that was a lie. He said, render unto God the things of God and render to Caesar the things of Caesar. Or vice versa. But he did say he was a king. And he'll be questioned regarding this. Pilate takes hold of this later on when he questions him. In verse 31, Pilate said, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. See, they also charged him with blasphemy. They also said he ought to die because he blasphemes and makes himself out to be a king. According to our law, he ought to die. Pilate says, hey, take him and kill him according to your law then. Take him out and stone him. Just get away from me, you're bugging me. This Pilate, he's a brutal man. He is brutal. He doesn't care about Jesus. He doesn't care about these Jews. Take him out and you kill him. They said, we can't. See, the Romans took that away from them. The sovereignty of the nation Israel to judge someone and to pass capital punishment upon them. It happened in AD 30. When it happened, the Jews were in the street. They were ripping their robes. They were saying, God has failed us. Because back in Genesis, they were told that the scepter would not leave from Judah. The right to rule would not leave from Judah until Shiloh came. Until Messiah came. And they were ripping their clothing. Little did they know that Shiloh was right there with them. God had failed us, they said. No, God hadn't failed you. He had brought Messiah just like he said. You had failed God. They said, we cannot judge him according to our law. And then John points out that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Over and over he had told them that he would be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he said, and if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And he was speaking of his crucifixion. So it's going to be fulfilled. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus to him, and he asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Do you want to know? Or are you just asking because people said this about me? Bold. No fear. I don't think he's being rude to him in any way. Pilate answered him, I, a Jew, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered. And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Jesus tells Pilate, "Indeed, I am a king. I am a king, without a doubt. But my kingdom isn't of this world. It's nothing that you have to be worried about. You don't have to be worried that I'm trying to obtain this worldly seat of power, because I'm not interested in that. My kingdom is not of the world." How different is our heavenly king than earthly kings? Man, we look at earthly kings, earthly rulers. Boy, they are a bunch. As they say down here in the South, they're a mess. They're a mess. They become rulers by lying. By compromising. By being wishy-washy. They become rulers by telling people the things that they want to hear. Well, that's in our country. In other countries, they become rulers by their power, by their fierceness, by brutality, by the power of their mind. People in this world become rulers by different means. There's different avenues they use. But not one of the rulers of this world become a ruler through their gentleness, through their humility, through their love, through their passion, through their compassion, through their selflessness. It isn't seen in this world, is it? If you know of one, tell me. Because I want to vote for him for president. I know of one. I would like him to rule. He's going to. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. He says to Pilate, look, the purpose for me coming here is to proclaim the truth. The truth, the pure, unadulterated truth. That's why I'm here. This world is so confused. It's messed up. It's believing lies. And I'm here to proclaim the truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why He came, is to proclaim the truth. And He says that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Do you hear His voice? That's how you know if you're hearing truth or error. Do you hear His voice? Pilate responded, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault at all in him." Pilate asked that question. I wonder how he asked it. Is he trivializing truth? There is no truth in this world. What's truth? Is he asking, what is truth? Because the reality is, I believe, is that it comes to all of us. Sometime, some place in our life, we come to a crisis, or we begin to question things as we see that they are, and we begin to wonder, and we begin to ask this question: what is truth? Haven't you been there in your life? Haven't you had to ask that question yourself? What is truth? We live in a time where relativism prevails. People say things like this: well, that may be true for you, but that's not my truth. That is ignorant. That is an ignorant statement. Look, two contradictory opinions cannot both be true. It's impossible. It defies logic. Either a thing is true or it is not true. In our society, well, that's your truth, but my truth is different. That's impossible. It's relativism. And it's a part of our social agenda in this nation. It's part of this embracing diversity. Be careful what you embrace. Our schools, our streets are out of control. Man, I don't understand. We used to ride our bikes several blocks away from our house to go play baseball. And my parents would say, come home before the street lights come on. And they didn't worry, because everyone in the neighborhood knew everyone else. And man, I grew up in California. I'm not talking about out in the country. Everyone knew everyone else. And we didn't worry about our kids being picked up by some wackadoo to take them out and do the horrendous things that we're hearing about, molestations of children. Strange things are happening in our country. Our children are no longer taught that they are created by God. The Bible used to be the textbooks in the schools. Children would learn how to read by reading the Bible. And the Word of God got into them. And it gave them a moral compass. But our children today are taught that they're a random occurrence in nature. You're no different than the animals. And as we watch society, that society is more and more looking like animals. What is truth? We're told to embrace diversity. that homosexuality should be applauded. We have parades. The Bible says it's a sin. It's a sin. It's as wrong as heterosexual couples engaging in sex outside of marriage. In a high school in Boulder, Colorado recently, they had an assembly for the kids in high school where these nutsos came in and encouraged them in the public school to experiment with drugs and sex. What is truth? Oh, these people said it was healthy, it was beneficial to them. The Word of God tells me it's damaging to them. What is truth? It's a great question. It may be the most significant question a person can ask. What is truth? How am I created? What is this world all about? What about my life? What is my life for? What is the purpose of me being here? Oh, what happens to me afterwards? What is the truth? Man, don't you love God's Word? We don't have to wonder. We don't have to try to figure it out amongst a multitude of opinions. His truth and His truth and His truth. It's really just His opinion and her opinion and their opinion. A multitude of opinions. This is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In the world, truth is a concept. To the Christian, truth is a person. What is truth? Pilate, truth is standing right before you. He is God incarnate. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. That's what truth is. He says, if anyone wants to know the truth, they'll hear my voice. You want to know the truth? Listen to Him. Hear His voice. He told us in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my truth, in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It'll set you free from all this nonsense in the world. If you hear His word, if you listen to His word, you don't have to enter into debates about what truth is. It's very clear. He is the truth. And His word is true. And that's it. God said it. I believe it. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. But that settles it. If God says it, that settles it. That's truth. Pilate asks this question. What is truth? And then he walks away. It's interesting what he says. He went out and he said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Pilate says, I want to let him go. He's not guilty of anything. In between verses 38 and 39, we have an incident that isn't recorded by John here in the gospel. In between here, the people say, he stirs up all the people from Galilee even to this place. And Pilate heard he was a Galilean. And he said, whoa, I'm going to send him to Herod. Herod could deal with the problem. Herod's in charge of Galilee. I'm sending him over there. I'm getting rid of this guy. I don't want to deal with this. But Herod sent him back. And so in verse 39, he goes on talking, but there was an interlude while Jesus was with Herod. You can read about that in Luke chapter 23. In 39, he says, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas was a criminal. He's called a robber here. His name, Barabbas. Bar means son of. Abba, father. Son of the father? No, he's not the son of the father. That's Jesus that's the son of the father. But they don't want the son of God. They want a criminal in his place. He's called a robber. The other Gospels clarify. They tell us he was a murderer and a thief, an insurrectionist against the Roman government. Hey, today, Barabbas, he'd be a terrorist. We will not have this man to rule over us. We'd rather have this guy. Are you kidding me? Barabbas was set free. Jesus died in his place. Interesting. Jesus died in the place of a murderer and thief. Well, that's our story too. The innocent died for the guilty. Jesus died for you and I. We're as guilty as sin, as they like to say, because we were sinners. And Jesus died as much for us and as much in our place as he did in Barabbas' place. So then Pilate, we're in chapter 19. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Second time, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. But in spite of this, Pilate has him scourged. Most of you know the agony, the brutality is portrayed, I think, very well in that movie. What was it? Passion of the Christ, yeah. We have it. You can check it out if you haven't seen it. It isn't pretty. The scourge was a whip similar to a cat of nine tails. On the end of it, it had lead or metal, had bone tied into it, so that when they brought it down and it would wrap around, they could rip it. So it could rip off chunks of flesh. And they wouldn't care where they'd throw it. They'd throw it around people's heads. Knock out teeth and eyes. As a flesh-cutting instrument, it would be used to solve crimes. As they whip them. They would ask of crimes that were committed that were unsolved, that solve a lot of crimes this way. Criminals would confess to anything. Because you know what they'd do? If you confess, they'd go lighter on you. If you didn't, they went harder. And they went harder and harder and harder on Jesus. Because he had nothing to confess. Isaiah tells us that like a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before its shearers, he was silent. And he didn't open his mouth. So they went harder and harder. They took a crown of thorns. I don't know what the olive trees are like in Israel. I don't know if that thorn comes from the olive trees, but we had, when we lived in Boise, we had a Russian olive tree. And this Russian olive tree had thorns on it. On the new growth, it would have these thorns that were like that thick. I got poked by them more than once. I stepped on one once. And the pain of this is excruciating. I'll see when I get there in Israel in November. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can't wait to go see what those thorns are like. They took a crown of thorns. Do you realize where thorns came from? Let me take you back. Thorns came as the ground was cursed back in Genesis because of sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He wore our crown. Thorns brought about by sin. And they beat him. The Romans had a game that they would play. They would put a bag over a person's head or blindfold them. Before they blindfolded them, they all showed the person their fist. And then they'd put the blindfold on and the fist would start flying. You don't know from where. It'll throw your back out of alignment because you usually roll with the punch, but if you don't know where it's going coming from, you're going to roll and you're going to get another one. It's brutal. And they beat him to a pulp. He was unrecognizable. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 52, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, just as many were astonished at him. His visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." He was beaten to a pulp to a point that he was unrecognizable. More than any man, Isaiah says. In verse 5, it says that Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." His hope was that they would see the torture that he has gone through, that their lust for blood would be satiated. But actually, like wild animals, it spurred them on. "Therefore, when the chief priest and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Pilate said to them, 'You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" How ironic is this? You would do this to a man who you find no fault in? This is the third time he's said this. Why would you do such a thing? Pilate was brutal. He used to be a slave. But in war, he proved himself. And he befriended officials. They gave him the money to buy his freedom. And they gave him position. It was brutal. Why would he do such a thing? He's an earthly ruler. He'd do it for political gain, for his position. See, when Pilate first came into Jerusalem, he came carrying busts of Caesar, figures of Caesar into Jerusalem. The Jews were horrified. It's idolatry upon Zion in the holy city. And there was a riot. And word went back to Rome. And they told Pilate, hey, you're there to keep the peace, not to incite riots. And so he looked for a way to appease the Jews. And so he was going to build an aqueduct to bring water into Jerusalem. And he began construction and he ran out of money. And so he went to the temple to complete the aqueduct. And the Jews revolted. He murdered a bunch of them in the revolt. He was a brutal man. They were unarmed. They laid down. They bared their necks. And Roman soldiers killed them. And word got back to Rome. One more incident and you're out of there. You're there to keep the peace. And here are these pesky Jews in front of him again. He's tried to give him Jesus. Just take him, go away. He's tried to give him to Herod. He's beaten Jesus nearly to death. People would die in the scourging. He finds no fault in him, but he's trying to appease these people. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he had made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that, saying he was more afraid. Pilate had been brought up with the Romans, with the pantheon of gods. In the Roman legends, there's all kinds of stories of gods having children with a woman, a son of one of the gods. He might be, after all, this man is unlike any other man that he's ever met. He doesn't retaliate against the things that have happened to him. He's accepted it. He doesn't show hatred towards Pilate or towards the Jews. This man is unlike any other man. Pilate has examined him and finds no fault in him. And now he's afraid. He's afraid that this guy might be a son of one of the gods. Even the gods are on this man's side. His wife, earlier in the day, had come to him and said, have nothing to do with this righteous man, because I've suffered many things over him today. She had a dream. Don't mess with this guy. Let him go. And Pilate's scared. He knows he's in a mess. He knows he needs to do something. And so he goes back into the praetorium and he brings Jesus in to question him. Verse 9, he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Jesus says, look, the power that you have has been granted to you by God. We need to remember that. Paul tells us that. That there's no authority except from God. And he puts these powers in place. It's interesting. In a democratic society, how is it God puts them in place? He knows the end from the beginning. I don't get it, but he's God. Jesus says, the only power you have is that which my Father has given. God is sovereign. He's in charge here. Pilate thinks he's in the one who's in charge, but he's mistaken. God is in charge. And from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. He's going to bring sentence upon him now. But in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." It's 12 noon, high noon. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate wanted to release him. They told Pilate, "If you let this man go, you are not a friend of Caesar." A threat. Hey, we're friends of Caesar. What about you? Where's your allegiance? Is your allegiance with Caesar, or is your allegiance with this man? Is your allegiance with the king, or is your allegiance with this man? We have no other king but Caesar. Verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Pilate caved in to social pressure. Most people reject Jesus for the same reasons. Peer pressure. One way or another. Oh, intellectually, give me a break. That isn't the reason. You think you're smarter than God. Comes down to peer pressure. Social acceptance. What will other people say? What will other people think? Humbling myself before a man who went and died on a cross. What would people think? Me saying I love Jesus. What would people think? Me saying I'm a sinner that needs to say that needs a Savior, that I can't save myself. What would people think? Pilate asked, "What is truth?" This is the truth. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the truth. Pilate said, "Behold the man. Behold the man. God became a man. And he suffered in our place to show us his love. Man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He ought to be ashamed of me. But he's not. I give you him. God has given you him. Man, I tell you, receive him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. What else have we got? Everything else is rather relative. In him there is purity. In him there is truth. Embrace him. Let's pray. Father, we come and Lord, the horror, the brutality of what is here, we haven't scratched the surface. The beauty, the glory, the majesty that lies within, Lord. We haven't ascended to it. Such thoughts, Lord, they're too high. We can't attain to it. But I do pray, Lord, that as we go up from here, that you would speak to us, that you would reveal yourself, that you would show us the simplicity that we have in you. And that you would open up to us, Lord, the riches, the unfathomable riches that we have in you. Both simplicity and riches at the same time. Not relative, not a contradiction, just how it is with you, Lord. We thank you. We pray, Lord, that if there's any here who hasn't surrendered, that today they would choose you. We see that man always has a choice. Pilate had a choice. The crowd had a choice. And we have a choice today. I pray, Lord, that we would all choose you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Well,